Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Post Gazette Sports Now YouTube channel and podcast network. I am Noah Hiles, and joining me for a special edition, a special episode, is a guy who really doesn't need an introduction if you've watched any type of football in the last couple of decades, starting from his time at Pittsburgh and then his long career in the NFL. It is Larry Fitzgerald who joins the show. Larry, thank you so much for coming on, my man. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Noah. Thank you so much for having me on. I hope you had a great weekend, and I look forward to having a conversation with you.
Absolutely, man. I'm ready to get into it. So, Larry, normally when I have a retired athlete on, I kind of start things off by saying, you know, or asking, hey, what are you up to now? But I feel like if I asked you that question, it would take up all of our time. So just looking through everything you're doing with all the investments, with the foundation, with the media stuff you do, how do you summarize what you're doing and how you spend your time now that you're no longer a professional athlete?
Well, I mean, I just like to stay active and stay busy, continue to push myself in different mediums and not be not allow myself to be pigeonholed into, you know, anything. So I'm very intellectually curious and I really enjoy, you know, just learning and being around people who are doing fascinating things. And you know, so it doesn't matter if it's in the restaurant space, it's multifamily, venture capital, private equity, you know, it's things that I really enjoy doing and learning about. So if I were to describe it was one thing, I would just say active.
Yeah. And so yeah. Just looking at all of this stuff, I mean, does it ever feel like it's too much? Do you feel like you're more busy now than when you were playing at times or no?
Absolutely. You know, I'm definitely much busier, but I would say it's definitely more gratifying and rewarding now. I mean, I think when you're an athlete, you're kind of, you know, your head's in the sand a bit. You're only focused on that. You know, I can do a lot more in terms of my involvement, you know, especially like in my foundation or doing work that is actually really meaningful and actually does change people's lives in a positive way. And so, you know, being able to engage in those type of activities really is rewarding and fulfilling for me. And so, like, yeah, it's you know, people ask how's retirement, and I would say I'm nowhere near retirement. This is definitely just a transition into other things that I've been preparing myself for many years.
All right. So let's get to where it all started. I guess not technically where it all started, but where the journey that a lot of people are familiar with started at the University of Pittsburgh. I just got to know, I did a lot of research for this. I couldn't really find what exactly brought you to Pitt, Larry. What attracted you to come play for the Panthers?
Well, it was a long-winded story. I don't know how much time we have on this interview, but I was doing like some unofficial visits with my coach, God rest his soul. His name was Ed Cole. He was our offensive coordinator in high school. And we were driving out to go, you know, we stopped at a couple of different schools on the way out to Pitt. We were just planning to stay tonight, actually, in Pittsburgh. Had no intentions of actually going to the University of Pittsburgh. I was being recruited pretty heavily by Joe Paterno on Penn State. Al Golden was my recruiting person in there. And they ended up closing the turnpike going to Happy Valley because it was a really, really bad rainstorm. So we ended up having to stay the night in Pittsburgh. And Coach Paterno's office called us and said, hey, can we move our meeting back until, you know, later in the evening, you know, around 4 or 5 o'clock that next day. And so we agreed. And so that gave us pretty much all morning to kind of do whatever we wanted. And so my coach is like, hey, we should just go stop in and visit Pitt. You know, Dan Marino, Tony Dorsett, Curtis Martin, you know, he just went on down the list of the great players that have played there. And so we stopped by. And this is before the new facility had been done. So they weren't even on the south side yet. They were in Sutherland Hall. You know, I was kind of like their, you know, makeshift offices. So we went over there, got a chance to meet, you know, Brian Deal and Walt Harris and J.D. Brookhart, and developed a really great relationship from that point on. And started recruiting me, offering me a scholarship not long after. And that's kind of how it started.
Interesting. So I believe it was this summer, Coach Narduzzi posted some highlights from practice of you that hadn't been released before. And those got a lot of traction on social media, brought up a lot of memories for Pitt fans watching you play. But I'm curious, you know, what are some of the earlier memories that you have as your time as a Pitt Panther? Maybe something that we didn't see on TV or read about in the many things that have been written about you.
Yeah, I mean, I just really look fondly on my experiences in the city, you know, the relationships I was able to develop with people on campus and administration. You know, just everybody was so kind to me. They took me and made me feel like I was one of them. That's the one thing I really admire about people from Pittsburgh. It's just the sense of community and the blue collar work ethic of the people in the city. You know, it's something I really admire. But, you know, the relationships that are the thing that I look back on and I'm so fond about. And it's one of the things that I'm really looking forward to going back for the Hall of Fame induction, is being able to see some of those people that I haven't seen in a long time, just to be able to look them in the eyes and tell them thank you for the many things they did to enhance my life on the field and off the field. And, you know, that's something I'm really, really looking forward to doing. But, you know, my relationship with guys like Tyler Palko and Rod Rutherford and Torrey Cox and Lusaka Polite and Penny Samaya and so many other of my teammates who really poured into me, especially after losing my mother, you know, my freshman year in spring ball. Those guys really just kind of put their arms around me. And, you know, there was times that I questioned if I was going to continue to play. You know, I was so hurt, and those guys just wrapped me with love. And, you know, still keeping up with those guys and checking on me, sending me, you know, cards to their families for Christmas. And, you know, all of that stuff means so much to me.
So, I mean, you talked about it. You're going to be enshrined into the Pitt Athletics Hall of Fame. I think the enshrinement ceremony will take place on the 22nd of September. You'll be honored the following afternoon at Pitt's home game against North Carolina. So let's talk about where that Hall of Fame career started, your redshirt freshman year at Pitt. A couple of things, specific games, I should say, that I want to get into. But before that, I mean, when did you feel things really started to click for you? I mean, it seemed like you kind of just took off and never really looked back. But when did it feel like, wow, I can really make an impact for this team at this level immediately?
I would say it first really happened for me in fall ball when I came in. And, you know, I really kind of felt like I had a good rapport with the quarterbacks. I was making, you know, some plays. They were giving me an opportunity to get on the field early. And so my confidence was building every single day. You know, obviously the jump, you know, for me from high school to college was much harder than the jump from college to the pros, in my opinion. You know, just because I came from Minnesota, you know, I came from pretty small football. And you know, I get to college and there's practicing three times a day, my body physically just wasn't, you know, ready for the rigors, intensity of the game. But I still was making plays, you know, every day. And, you know, it was giving me confidence. And I don't think I really kind of, you know, knew how talented I could be until, you know, our second game, you know, we played a home game against Texas A&M. And I had a nice day that day. And, you know, I think from that point on, I knew I could compete at that level. And I knew I had a chance to, you know, do something special if I continued to focus.
You know, I felt like every game that season, you kind of made a bigger name for yourself. But I think the nation really learned who Larry Fitzgerald was in that win over Virginia Tech that season. Can you just, you know, take me through what that victory, you know, going down to Blacksburg, taking on the number three team in the country and beating them? What was that like, you know, as a younger guy, first season of college football, to experience that?
Well, it was great. You know, I felt like we were really prepared well. Coach Harris and his staff did a great job of getting us ready to play. And, you know, I don't think there was anybody on that team that didn't feel like we had a chance to win that ball game, right? They were highly ranked. They had, you know, some terrific players on that team. But, you know, I knew that, you know, pound for pound that we can compete with anybody. And, you know, Rod had a spectacular game doing it with his arm and with his feet. The defense stepped up big, you know, really kind of negating that powerful running game that they had. And, you know, it was tough to play there. I mean, that place was electric, you know, especially for a night game. And, you know, I tried to contribute best I could, and it was enough to be able to get by. You know, that memory is always funny. When I talked to my dad, you know, my dad got out there. He didn't know it was going to be that cold. He had no jacket on. I remember him, like, just having snot, like, running down his nose and shivering when he saw me. He was so happy and cold at the same time. But it was one of the more memorable experiences. I always joke with my dad about that, how cold he was in Blacksburg.
That's funny. So another game I wanted to ask about that season, and more particularly just the opponent. You guys played Miami. And, you know, over the last, I feel, 5-10 years, that team gets talked about so often with the talent that was on there. And, I mean, it was across the board, but obviously they had a lot of dudes in that secondary. What was that like for you to go up against that loaded roster and compete as a freshman?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, it was fun. It was exciting. I think everybody understood that they had a guy. They had a bunch of guys. Not even guys that hadn't been going to get on the field yet were going to be playing the National Football League. They were a complete powerhouse. And, you know, I knew that if you wanted to make a name for yourself, the fastest way to do that was, you know, to go out there and compete and play well against, you know, so many great athletes. Unfortunately, we weren't able to pull the victory off. But I think, you know, playing them, I think it gave us a lot of confidence as a team to know that we can compete with the very best in the college football, the most talented athletic group maybe ever assembled, you know, that Miami team. And I remember Chris Carter being on the sidelines, and it's the electricity in the Orange Bowl. And, you know, it's one of my greatest memories in college, being able to go out there and play. You know, you think about all the big games, Super Bowls, Orange Bowls, you know, all just the classic games that have been played in our stadium. And to be a part of that, to be on that field was spectacular.
Do you think that group of Miami players was the most talented college football team ever assembled?
Yeah, I would definitely, if they're not the most, I would definitely put them in the conversation. You know, from Willis McGahee to Andre Johnson, and I mean, Sean Taylor and Kellen Winslow and Jonathan Vilma and Vernon Carey. You know, I mean, you just go on and on and on down the list. And then we're not even talking about the guys who were on that team but weren't playing yet, like, you know, the John Beasons and Antrell Rolls. And I mean, like, it was just such a talented group of players. And, you know, to Frank Gore was on that team, you know, third or fourth leading rusher in the National Football League. He wasn't even on the field yet. They had a gluttony of talent, and you know, it definitely was in that conversation, the most talented.
So Larry, I, like many other people, have spent some time watching your highlights at during your time at Pitt. Your final game as a freshman, you made a snag against Oregon State in the Insight Bowl. Gets brought up, you know, in any highlight package of Pitt football history. Where does that catch rank for you? I mean, you've made a lot of catches throughout your career, from when you started to when you finished. Is that one of the top ones, you think, that one against Oregon State?
Yeah, I definitely believe it was one of the better ones I made. And I think his catches all have to do with not only the difficulty of the catch, but the timing of it, right? You know, I made a lot of really great one-hand behind the head catches for a first down in the first quarter of a game we should have won, right? You know, but that game was closely contested. You know, it was a bowl game, and you know, I think it was right before the half, I believe, if I remember correctly. But it was a big play to be able to put us in the lead going into the half. And so, you know, I think a lot about that play and the momentum it gave us, you know, going into that second half. But it definitely would be one of my favorite catches I made.
My personal favorite catches you made were on the SportsCenter commercial where you're just walking through the office catching everyone. I wanted to sidebar for that. Who came up with that idea and how receptive were you when they pitched it to you there?
Oh, you know, honestly, I don't know who came up with that that commercial idea, but, you know, I had a lot of fun. It took a few takes, some of the catches, you know, because it's like the weight distribution of catching the cheerleader and, you know, like all of the things that they had me doing. It was sometimes just a little weird, but it was a fun day to do that. And I had fun with Jay too, you know, one of the hosts and a friend of mine still to this day. We kept in contact from that. Yeah, it definitely was a great day. I had so much fun on set and, you know, let me kind of bring out my personality a bit.
You said it was difficult. You didn't drop the cheerleader, did you? On any of the
No, I didn't. I didn't. You know,
that would have went against the entire premise of the commercial. So,
I've never caught like anybody that was like, you know, 90 pounds before. You know, I've caught things never.
We'll keep it moving now to your second season with Pitt. Just one game I want to talk about. It's against an opponent we've already mentioned, the Virginia Tech win. Your second season in Pittsburgh, first time college game days on Pitt's campus. I think you guys had been going through a little bit of a slump at that period of time, but that marked, I think, really a huge win in that era of Pitt football. I did a story last year on just a whole bunch of fans and former players kind of reflecting on the chaos that led into that day, the chaos that followed after that win. Can you just take me through your point of view of that entire night? It seems like a really special one for anyone who was around the Pitt football program when you were there.
Yeah, I have so many fond memories from that night, you know, from, you know, the bus ride over from the hotel, you know, walking through just to see a fan as we entered to the stadium. I still remember the suit that I had on, you know, walking in and it just walking into to Heinz Field and seeing just all the people. I mean, it was like the first time that I feel like we played in front of a sellout crowd. I mean, it was every single seat was filled to capacity and the energy in the building, I feel like you could cut it with a knife. And, you know, I remember looking over and seeing Frank Beamer getting his boys going. And, you know, it was an exciting moment. And I remember when we scored a go-ahead touchdown, I think it was Brandon Maurice scored it. And I remember like tackling, you know, Matt Morgan and Lusaka Polite and just being a 19-year-old and didn't know how to control his emotions. I was tackling my own teammates. I was so giddy from that. And, it was an awesome game. One that I remember fondly, and then going back to Oakland and having a good party. You know, I don't think I went to bed until like 4 o'clock that night. So it was a fun time.
That's a lot of the people that I spoke with for that story. I talked to a lot of people who were students at Pitt, and a lot of them said that was one of the best nights of their life, probably the most fun they had during their time at Pitt. I'm assuming that would probably fall into that category, one of the funnest nights you had as a college student.
Oh, yeah, man. We was over at the O. I had a couple sandwiches and remember just bar hopping, and it was fun, man. Everywhere we went, it was love shown, and it was definitely one of the better nights I ever had.
So, Larry, throughout your final season at Pitt, it actually started prior to that, but you had this touchdown streak. And, I mean, I remember I was in elementary school when it was going on, but I remember watching each week, and you feel like beginning of the season it would get brought up. But by the end of the season, it was like the lead thing they would talk about on a Pitt game. It was, here's Larry Fitzgerald. He's got a touchdown in X amount of games in a row. Will it happen again? And in a year where Pitt kind of had pretty high expectations and it didn't necessarily play out as well as some had hoped, that just became the focal point of the season, is what can this guy do week to week? What was that like for you throughout that entire process? Every game, 18 games in a row scoring a touchdown. Did you ever start to resent that type of attention? Did you feel that pressure as that streak continued to unfold?
No, I didn't. I really didn't feel the pressure, but I know my teammates wanted it for me. I could feel it, you know, through the game. Guys were really working hard to try to give me opportunities. And, you know, so I mean, I didn't feel it personally. It wasn't something I was shooting for every single week, but I knew my teammates wanted me to have it. And so it gave me extra motivation to show up and show out you know, every single time I was on the field. But it was really cool to be able to experience that, you know, with so many guys, because for me to catch a touchdown, so many things have to go right. I have to run the right route and be effective. My route, offensive lineman has to block. My other teammates have to run routes to be able to create space and opportunity for me. Rod obviously has to make the throw. You know, so many things have to go right. And, you know, so for it to happen and go in the right direction, you know, every time for, you know, 17, 18 times in a row, you know, that's pretty difficult to do. So I really appreciate, you know, what went into making it happen.
So toward the end of your time in Pitt, a lot of awards were given out. Obviously, you came very close to winning that Heisman Trophy, and I'm sure you've been asked a ton of different questions about it. Oh, were you surprised? I know I saw the clip where Eli asked you what was going through your head, and you replied, "I'm just happy Eli didn't win," which I found that answer pretty funny. But I guess my question is, on the Heisman note, do you feel like things would have unfolded differently for you afterward had you won it? Do you feel like maybe the Raiders would have drafted you rather than the Cardinals had you won that Heisman Trophy? Or, I mean, it couldn't have improved your draft stock that much, but do you feel like that might have changed your path at all had you won that trophy?
No, I don't think so. I think the Chargers Giants trade would have still happened. You know, the quarterbacks are always the most important. And, you know, I think the Raiders were all along. They wanted to go in offensive line. I didn't really fit the Raider mold. You know, they were more of like the top end speed receiver type team. They liked Al Davis, really liked guys who were really, really fast. So I didn't really fit, you know, that mold. So I don't think it would have changed my draft stock at all. And, you know, initially I was like disappointed, just because simple fact that, you know, I would have been the first pure receiver without any return capabilities to win it. So I was would have been the first sophomore, I think, at the time. So there would have been a lot of firsts that would have been really cool to have. But, you know, it wasn't in the cards for me that year, you know. And so I chalk it up and I put it behind me and just focus on the things that I could control.
Looking back at it, I mean, how happy are you that you didn't fit that Raider mold and you weren't one of those fast guys that Al Davis wanted?
I mean, I feel like I would have put together a great career anywhere I went. You know, I don't really look at it as if, like, Arizona didn't have any. I mean, I didn't go and play with, you know, a Hall of Fame quarterback for, you know, all of my career. You know, I kind of pieced it together year by year. And, you know, with that said, I probably could have done that in many different places, you know, if I would have been able to stay healthy and, you know, be able to do the things that I know I was capable of doing. So I don't really look at it as, you know, would it have been better here or there? You know, I like to think that I could have played for any team and helped to make a contribution.
Okay. So, I mean, looking at that draft class, I mean, there are a lot of names in that class that are going to be wearing gold jackets one day. Where do you feel like that's probably one of, if not the best draft classes in football history when you go down and, you know, you look at the quarterbacks, you look at yourself, other guys like Sean Taylor, Vince Wilfork, other names. Do you feel like that's one of the best, and you take pride in being in that class?
Definitely. Absolutely. I mean, I think it's one of the better classes to come through. You know, I still keep in contact with quite a few of the guys that played, and you know, there's definitely a few guys will get gold jackets out of that group. You know, Jared Allen was a late fourth round, late third round pick. I think he's got 140 something sacks. You know, he put together a really, really great career. Obviously, Eli and Phillips and Ben are going to be in the conversation. So, I mean, there's a lot of talented players that came through. Jason Peters was in our class as well. I think he was a late round draft pick out of Arkansas to the Buffalo Bills. And, you know, so we got some talent that came through.
Yeah, I mean, I just look back at it and, like, that's kind of the class that for someone – in their 20s now, that class just gave us the football players that we watched for our entire life. And it's kind of crazy where you mentioned the talent, but just the longevity. Every guy that you named played a very long time in the NFL at a high level. So that's got to be something that's cool to be a part of.
And the craziest, probably the three most talented guys in the class, you know, for different reasons, didn't work out. I mean, Jonathan Vilma, you know, barring an injury, was I mean, the guy was unbelievable linebacker, smart, intelligent, you know, just saw the game, you know, faster and quicker than most anybody else. Obviously, Sean Taylor's life was cut short, you know, through a tragic issue, you know, incident. And he definitely would have been, you know, in the conversation for Hall of Famer. And then, you know, if Kellen Winslow never rides that bike, you know, and you know, tears up his knees and shoulder, I mean, I don't know if I've ever trained and worked out with a guy who was as physically gifted as him. I mean, to be 6'4", 260, to run and catch and have that type of athleticism, you know, I don't know if a tight end has ever come out that has been that gifted in that many different ways. I mean, the guy was an absolute monster. And, you know, so, you know, it's almost kind of like what could have been, you know. Mm-hmm. Tommy Harris, you know, he was defensive player of the year that year, came out of Oklahoma, had, you know, two All-Pro years, you know, the first two seasons, and then, you know, hurt his knee, you know. So, I mean, they had some guys that could really, really go.
So, Larry, I want to talk to you, like we talked about earlier in the show. You're a part of Pitt's 2023 Athletic Hall of Fame class. How'd you find out about this? And, you know, what does it mean to you? It shouldn't be as a shock, but it's still got to be an honor.
Yeah, it was a great honor. Heather, Pittsburgh's athletic director, gave me a call. I was riding the car going to dinner, and she broke the news to me. I was elated. I was very excited and happy, you know, that I could be, you know, a part of the great tradition of many student athletes that come to the University of Pittsburgh and left a mark. And I remember telling Roger Kingdom about it. You know, he's giving me grief that he was a part of the first class, and, you know, he was the greatest athlete to ever come through, but it was nice for me to be able to get in a few years after. And so he was busting me up a little bit. But it was great to be able to, you know, get that call and to think, you know, you're part of the history of the university. And, you know, that's a really cool thing to think about and be a part of.
So I think I saw you back at the practice field last year, but when's the last time you've been back at a Pitt football regular season game? Did you get to go to any games last year at all?
I did not get to go last year. I went a few years ago for a little bit. I was in town. I snuck in for a little bit. And then before then, it was when they retired my number. It was Jameis Winston's, you know, Heisman Trophy year that I was able to get back. So I'm excited to get back this year and watch Pitt. Hopefully we're undefeated and, you know, going to take it to North Carolina. You know, Coach Narduzzi always has the boys prepared and ready to play. So I'm really looking forward to seeing them do their thing.
I wanted to ask just on that note, I mean, what are your thoughts on the current state of Pitt football? It seems like they've found a kind of maybe a new floor as far as a standard, and things are a little bit more consistent than they have been in recent years.
Yeah, coach has brought a lot of stability to the program, you know, just built on, you know, tough, hard-nosed players. And, you know, he's done a great job of, you know, recruiting local talent and, you know, developing them and putting them in the league. You look around the National Football League and the league is littered with players from Pittsburgh. And, you know, it doesn't matter where you look, they're contributing and making big plays. And it's really cool to see coach done a great job of continuing the strong tradition of Pitt football. And, you know, what's unique about Pittsburgh is, like, you know, Western Pennsylvania has so much talent. It always has. You go back and take it all the way back to Mike Dicka and you know, Joe Montana and Jim Kelly and Dammer. I mean, so much talent to come out of the state. And, you know, if we can just keep just a few of the guys in Western Pennsylvania here at home playing for University of Pittsburgh, you know, we could be something really, really, really special forever. I mean, the talent is just that deep and that rich in that city. And so I think he's doing a great job on the recruiting battles. You know, we can keep Penn State out of there and keep Maryland and keep Virginia and all the teams that come in. Notre Dame always coming in poaching kids from Western Pennsylvania. We can keep all of them people out of there and they come to Pitt. We can compete for ACC championship every year.
So this at Pitt Athletics Hall of Fame, probably not going to be the last Hall of Fame you go into. You were named a finalist for the College Football Hall of Fame's 2024 class. Canton will probably be in the mix for you not too long after that. But just real quick, I mean, what would that mean to you to be, you know, some guys who are in that College Football Hall of Fame They had a 4 or 5 year career, some of them. You were at Pitt for 2 seasons. You left your mark. What would that mean for you to be recognized as one of the game's best?
Well, I mean, it mean a lot to me. You know, to be on there, especially with you know, some of the wonderful players who are also being nominated and other players who've been inducted already. You know, it's such a strong tradition of players to come through the game and leave those marks, and to be thought about, you know, in that regard, it's humbling. And I'm hoping that I can make it this year. It'll be wonderful to be immortalized, you know, with so many other great players that have played and made the game of college football so amazing.
All right, I got 3 questions for you before we wrap things up. First one, I see you on my YouTube, just on the algorithm. I feel like I see you talking about golf all the time, and you're competing against different guys in golf, but I also hear you're quite the chess player. Which is your better game? Which one do you enjoy, and which one do you think you're better at?
Well, I mean, I play them both all the time. I play golf probably once or twice a week, and I play chess every day a couple times. You know, I'm an early investor in chess.com and love the growth of the game. You know, Queen's Gambit, you know, gave us an unbelievable jolt, you know, I think in the visibility and the popularity of the game. Cool thing about, you know, the game of chess is played all around the world. And so I get on the app and I play people from Australia and Uzbekistan and Finland and all over the world, and you get to play and learn and compete, which I really enjoy. And in golf, you know, it's like the hardest game in the world. You know, you can go shoot even par one day, and the next day you shoot 90. It always just humbles you. No game humbles you more than golf. You know, it's, you never know what it is. It could be the same course, same golf ball, same outfit, same everything, and this is not the same game. You know, so it's always challenging and humbling you, especially when you play courses like Oakmont. They really, really humble you.
I haven't had many of those even par days, but I've had a lot of those 90s. So, a quick follow to that. Who's your favorite person you've ever golfed with?
Oh, that's tough. You know, favorite person, I'll say probably my son, Devin. He's starting to get into the game now, and to see his passion for the game kind of starting to grow a little bit. You know, he hits it all over the place, but then he'll hit a couple shots. You're like, son, you got a chance. You got a nice little move on you. If you put some time in, you might get better. But I just like all my kids to play and get an experience. And hopefully it'll be like my father and I. We spend a lot of time on the golf course together, you know, and as your parents are starting to get older, you cherish those moments when you're able to get out there and be able to be out, you know, be able to spend that intentional time with them. So I'm hoping my kids will catch the addiction just like I have.
Those 1 or 2 shots, that's all you need to keep coming back, right?
And that's just it.
A couple of good ones. All right, so Larry, obviously now college athletes, they can profit off of their name, image, and likeness. What would have been the dream brand deal for Larry Fitzgerald when he was at the University of Pittsburgh? Take me into the mind of Larry Fitzgerald. If you could have picked anything, who would you have wanted a partnership with as a brand deal?
Ooh, that's a tough question. You know, being from Pittsburgh, you know, maybe the Heinz Company, U.S. Steel, you know, something like that, local, that you know, would have been cool to have some affiliation with them. You know, just thinking about the local groups that I would have enjoyed. So I would say those two probably.
Okay. You think you would have been on TikTok doing dances had that existed back in your day?
No, I'm not one to do too much dancing. I got 2 left feet. You know, I've been asked to do dancing with the stars probably like 5 or 6 times. And every time I'm like, nah, I can't do it, man. You're not going to have me on TV looking crazy, embarrassing myself. That's definitely what would happen if you saw me dancing.
Fair enough. My final question for you, Larry, you have a great understanding of the history of Pitt football's program. If you could pick one Pitt legend to play with, that could have played with you, excuse me, during your time as a Pitt football player, who would you pick? And this could be prior or after your career in Pitt.
I can only pick one?
You can only pick one. You can give me a couple honorable mentions, I guess.
I would say... For selfish reasons, I would have probably picked Hugh Green just because he was so dominant and he would have got us the ball back a lot more opportunity. So I would have been able to even put some more numbers and wins up on the board because he was unblockable in his college time. I mean, literally unblockable. There's nobody that had any answers for him when he was on the field. The most disruptive player maybe in the history of college football. And so I would probably say Hugh. I got really close with Hugh during my time in Pittsburgh, and very kind and good man to me. And so I would put him up there at the top.
Do you feel like not enough people know about Hugh Green?
Yeah, I think the reason is because, you know, he didn't have like a dominant NFL professional mm-hmm. career. And, you know, I think you see that sometimes people's, I wouldn't say it's like diminishes their star, but, you know, you look at obviously Dan Marino, the first ballot Hall of Famer. You look at, you know, Tony Dorsett, you know, a first ballot Hall of Famer, Mike Ditka, first ballot Hall of Famer, you know, Darrelle Revis, first ballot Hall of Famer, you know, Aaron Donald will be a first ballot Hall of Famer. You know, so when you couple like greatness in college, yeah. right, and then you just take it and transition into pros, it puts you in a different light for everybody. But I don't like to diminish people's star. I mean, he was the most dominant player, you know, in the game of football when he was playing at the college level, and you got to give him his flowers for that.
I think that's a great spot to wrap things up, Larry. Thank you so much for coming on. Anything you want to promote or talk about before we wrap things up?
No, I'm just looking forward to getting back and seeing the folks in Pittsburgh, and I'm excited to watch the, you know, the Panthers again do their thing. I'm excited to watch the Steelers too. I mean, they got a really, really good group of talented players over there, and you know, I'm excited about just sports in Pittsburgh in general.
All right, well, hit that subscribe button to everyone watching. Yeah, hit that subscribe button and follow us on all of our social media platforms. We have all of your Pittsburgh sports coverage on the Post-Gazette Sports Now YouTube channel and podcast network. Take care.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you enjoyed the video, please like it and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Check out our Apple Podcast channel for more podcast content. Click below for a special deal of 99 cents for a 3-month subscription to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette.